I want to talk to you tonight about answering the call of God on your life. You know, answering God's call for your life. How many here are present? Good. When I asked that, you answered the call. You responded. And I just want you to know, just starting off here, it's as important in how you respond to God's call as it is in Him giving the call. Many are called, few are chosen. Do you know how God chooses people? The ones that answer the call. It really is that simple. God is calling. He's calling to you. He's calling to me. His voice is speaking over creation. He's talking to hearts and minds. He's awakening entire generations right now. He's looking for godly ones, people who will answer the call. And I know that in this group of people that there are a whole bunch of people who the answer in your spirit right now, even as I'm talking, is yes, Lord, I want to be, I want to do, I want to answer your call. Anybody with me? Am I in good company? So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. You know, there are questions that plague humanity. There are five questions, at least, that I thought of when I was spending time with the Lord and just considering answering God's call. There's five questions that just plague people. And I wonder tonight, I'm gonna read these five questions off. And as you hear a question that you have asked before or are asking currently, I want you to raise your hand. Sound good? Okay. Where do I belong? Where do I belong? Like, everybody belongs somewhere. You're supposed to have a tribe, a family. You're supposed to be a part of something that's bigger than yourself. You're not meant to just be an island unto yourself. You're not supposed to be lonely. I don't know if you've ever had a lonely heart, but you're not supposed to be lonely. You're not supposed to feel alone in what God's called you to do. There's no such thing as the lone ranger in the body of Christ. Come on, superheroes make great stories to watch movies about, but superheroes in the body of Christ, that's just pathetic. There's no such thing as a person who stands alone on that hill and they did it all by themselves. No, every person is walking in generational blessing and generational anointings and generational breakthrough. That people before you got breakthrough, and that's why you're having success. You're not by yourself. Amen? Where do you belong? Where's your tribe? Who are you supposed to be a part of? Question that plagues generations. I believe right now my generation is asking that question in a deep way right now. I think that young people in general ask this question. They're looking for belonging, and they don't know where they fit. And so they look to their peers to ask the question to them, hey, do I fit with you? Do I belong with you? They look to gangs, they look to sports and teams and coaches, and they look to, you know, clubs and to be a part of something, because everybody has this longing inside of them. They want to be a part of something bigger than themselves. Where do I belong? How many were there? The rest are lying. Okay. Come on, the second question. Who am I? Who am I? You ever asked that question? Not like, what's my name? Not amnesia. But who am I? And it's interesting because who am I and where I belong fit together. I'd like to propose to you today that your identity fits in the context of a community, that it's not just by yourself, this is who I am and everybody else has got to deal with it. But that Jesus is calling to you and is assigning identity, that the Father has given you an identity, and that it's not found by yourself in some sacred, lonely place, but that identity is actually found within community in the midst of a family. Some of the greatest joys of my own personal life have been when a child comes into this world and I am looking into its eyes for the first time. You know, I have seven children. I've had this experience several times. I remember when my son was born, change my life forever. When I looked into his eyes and I saw, oh my goodness, this person is a part of me. To then assign a name to my son that would give him an identity for all of his days. My wife and I take great pains with this. We spend time, you know, seeking the Lord on what we should call each of our children. You know, and I'd like to propose to you tonight that nobody gets named by accident. That even if you think you've got the worst name in the world, don't worry about it. God's got you covered. That there's no such thing as accidents. And if for some reason you got stuck with a name that is just like terrible and horrendous and brings a curse to you and your family and whatever, if that's the case, then don't worry. God also has the privilege of renaming you in his kingdom. But that identity that my son found, and I get to declare it over him and then watch him grow up before me, that identity that was named from the beginning gets to be formed and fulfilled in the midst of family, not just on his own out there. And it's the same with your identity. The same with your identity. Third question, what am I here for? What's my purpose? Come on, who is it? What am I here for? What is my purpose in life? Fourth question, last one I want to say. What am I supposed to be doing? Because it's funny about that question right there. That one is, I find it amusing sometimes because we will get assigned identity from God. We will be in the midst of community that has a mission and going in a direction, right? And so we have intention, like this is the purpose overall. We have an identity in God. We have purpose in terms of general purpose because God's told us about it. And then we still have the question, what am I supposed to be doing? Even in the midst of knowing who you are, knowing where you belong, knowing the general mission of the people you belong with and what they're supposed to be doing, then when it comes to personalizing that and asking, we end up in this fog sometimes of what am I supposed to be doing, specifically me, not just what's the group supposed to be doing, but what am I supposed to be doing? Anyone ever been there before? I just find that so funny, not in terms of comical, like, ha-ha, you know, sucker. Not like that. But ha-ha, like, how is it possible that that can be a reality? And I want to say to you tonight, just as we're beginning here and as we're talking through some of these issues, that it's normal to have this question. It's okay for you to have this question because in the past, we have never been given permission to answer the question. We've had in the past religious systems that have kept us from being able to personally answer that question. We've had in the past leadership that has said to us, you have to wait for me to tell you what to do before you can personalize your calling, your identity, before you can even answer the question of what does God want you to do. You've got to go ask somebody else. And that right there, to me, it's just tragic because it's paralyzed us from putting our hands to the calling that God's given us. Anyone alive tonight? Come on, have I got your attention? Do you get it? You found yourself asking those questions. No, and it's amazing to me also because as soon as you answer them, as soon as you have answers to them, you begin to readdress them again. It's almost like an onion, like it's this continual process of peeling back layers of where do I belong, what am I supposed to be doing, who am I, what's my purpose, And we continually ask these questions and ask these questions, and it's good to ask the questions. There's nothing wrong with the questions themselves unless you're paralyzed in answering the questions. If you're paralyzed in answering the questions or you don't feel like you're powerful enough to answer them for yourself, that right there, that's the trap. And it's my intention tonight for us to talk through some stuff that should set us free from that. And my hope is that every person will walk out of this room tonight with renewed passion and purpose and identity and calling, and everything that you know to be true about yourself would be reinvigorated inside of you and regenerated and renewed and re-everything else so that you walk away here alive. Does that sound good? All right. Now, on that premise, let me pray for you. God, I thank you that your voice is present, that you love every person. I pray right now, ears to hear what the Holy Spirit of God is saying to you. Come on, just say that over yourself. I have ears to hear. I have eyes to see. I know God's voice. You got a Bible, would you open up to John chapter 10? John 10. I'm not going to read the whole section here, but just a couple of verses. This is John chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. John 10, verses 3 through 5. This is Jesus speaking, and he's talking about himself as the good shepherd. To him, whoever is the shepherd, the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and the shepherd calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he's put forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger, they simply will not follow, but they will flee from him because they do not know the stranger's voice. Let me read that again. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he puts forth all of his own sheep, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger, they simply will not follow. Can you say that with me? A stranger, they simply will not follow. Okay, look at your neighbor right now. Look him dead in the eyeball. Come on, find somebody to look at. Seriously, do this, okay? Look him dead in the eyeball. And I want you to say to him, you know God's voice. You're not in any danger of being deceived. Because a stranger, you simply won't follow. Come on with that. It's a good word right there. We could just stop there and just hang out on that one. When I first was learning to hear the Lord's voice, I spent a lot of time quieting myself. I spent a lot of time reading the Bible. I spent a lot of time asking questions. I spend a lot of time also listening to people who knew God's voice and asking them, hey, how do you hear God's voice? I tried to learn as much as I could. And what's amazing is that, you know, how many know there are giftings in the body of Christ? There's grace, like actual gifts that God's given to people to be able to hear, to be able to perceive. Some see visions, have dreams. It's not that all don't have access to that stuff, but some people just, they have an easier time with it because there's an actual true prophetic gift that God's given to them. And it didn't come from other means. It was like, that's who they are. You know, they're that part of the body. You understand what I'm saying? Every person, however, has the right to hear God's voice, and every person has the ability to hear God's voice. But some of us, we get the privilege of taking the journey of learning how to hear God's voice. We didn't just get it from birth like others. Anybody with me on that journey? Well, I'm not somebody who has just known God's voice from birth. I actually learned to hear God's voice. I spent time, you know, practicing. I spent time discerning. I spent a lot of energy towards, you know, cultivating this gifting to be able to hear God's voice, you know, and prophesy over people and have words of knowledge, all that kind of stuff. Well, I during that season of leaning and pushing on that, you know, I had a lot of times where I think I heard God's voice, and then it turned out to not be God's voice. Anybody ever have that before? You think you heard God's voice, and you act on it, and you're like, whoops, I guess it wasn't God's voice. Or you think you have a word for somebody, and like you share what you think the Lord is saying to them, and they look at you like deer in headlights, like, you are from the moon. I don't know. What is thou saying to me? You know, have you ever had that happen? That's happened to me, I don't know, 100 times, 1,000 times. You don't always get it right. You know, the discerning of the Lord's voice can be a gifting that comes, and it also can be something that you grow in. Like speaking a language. You know, my children, as they were born into this world, none of them spoke English. None of them had the gift of tongues. Like they were unable to speak another language. In fact, they spent a couple of years processing and being completely immersed in the culture of learning this language before they even began to try to utter the common language. Can I just tell you, like, hey, it's okay if you don't like hear really, really accurately right now, don't worry. Like, he's teaching you. You just need to stay submersed in the culture of listening for God's voice, and you'll hear it enough until all of a sudden you'll go, oh, I know what God's voice is, and I know what God's voice isn't. It's just a process of growing and maturing. There's nothing wrong with the process. There's nothing wrong with you as you're learning how to speak God's language or hear God's voice. The process is something that everybody gets to go through. There may be some that are more gifted in languages, more apt towards that. And it would be tragedy if you looked at people that were more gifted than you and then dismissed your own call to hear God's voice and learn His voice. I can't overemphasize this tonight because Jesus is so incredibly zealous and passionate about you hearing from Him. There is a weight that's upon God's voice. There is a glory, which is the word kavod, the word for glory, is weightiness. There is a weight, a glory that rests on every word that God speaks. Every time that God speaks to you, a new weight comes upon your being. We are being changed from glory to glory. We are walking through this transformational process of us becoming more and more like Jesus. That comes from hearing His voice. It comes from hearing His voice. Every time that Jesus speaks to you, every single time, no matter how simple the word is, your being will be transformed. This may sound simple, and maybe it's not revelatory in terms of new for you tonight, but I can promise you that this is the word of the Lord for you tonight. The weight of the Lord is so strongly upon this for you personally. Hear me as if I'm talking to you. What you need in life right now is to hear Jesus' voice. But Pastor Jamie, I have all these questions about my future. No, 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 no. You're missing it. By asking questions about your future, by wondering where you belong, by wondering what you're supposed to be doing, by asking those questions and looking to your navel for answers, introspection. You will not find your answers by inspecting your life. You will not find your answers in a DISC assessment or a Myers-Briggs. You're not going to find your answers for who you are in life, what you're called to, everything that you're supposed to be doing, where you belong. You're not going to find any of those answers by seeking other sources. There is only one source in which all of heaven obeys and is aligned to. It is the voice of its Creator. If you will simply quiet your soul and listen for your master's voice, Whatever it is that he speaks to you will bring alignment to every circumstance in your life. But I don't know what I'm going to do about the bill that's coming up because we don't have enough money. Seek first his kingdom, and all these things will be added to you. Why are you worrying about things that the world worries about? Just hear his voice. He is so passionate about this. His voice is holding together all matter. His voice is in everything and is being sustained by everything. Everything that has been created was created for him and him alone. Every purpose, every instrument, everything that you see on this earth, everything, but all belongs and is heading towards the person of Jesus Christ. All matter, all universe, all spirit, all life, all of it is going back towards that person, Jesus Christ. You are lost. You will be found when you hear his voice. If you are lonely, you will no longer be lonely as soon as you hear his voice. If you are dirty and you're far away and your soul is covered in the muck and sin of this world because you ran away from God, all you need to do is hear his voice one time. For it is from the mercy seat that he speaks. All you need to do is hear his voice. And every person has access. It is not the great high priest that goes into the secret holy of holy place to hear once a year what God would say to the people of God. It does not come from you getting a prophetic word from some famous person or a speaker or none of it. Callings don't come from that. Can I tell you that? Anointings don't come from that. Anointing comes from spending time with Jesus. Period. That's it. The abiding presence of Jesus is with you always, always. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. However, his anointing to do the purposes of God will ebb and flow based on your connection to the person of Jesus Christ. I cannot emphasize strong enough how important it is that you be listening to his voice under his leadership. But I don't know if I've ever heard his voice. When's the last time you tried? When's the last time you tried? I mean, sincerely tried. When's the last time you carved out a time, an actual time, to quiet yourself, to listen? Don't tell me 15 minutes before you run into your appointment. Can you hear God's voice in that midst of that time? Sure, if you've cultivated and you understand and know his voice, sure, you can hear it anytime, any moment, all the time. By the way, he doesn't stop speaking. He may be speaking on a different frequency than you're tuned into, but he is always a-talking. It's in everything. His voice is in everything. You want to hear from God in a weird way. Now let me say this, and again, in a weird way, you know, the New Age people are always like, it's in the crystalline. Well, yeah, it is. Because he created it by his voice. His voice is there. It's in the trees. It's in Mother Nature. Yeah, you bet it is. But that's not the source. His voice is in creation. Some of you are so tuned in to certain aspects of his voice, so you know that if you'll go out into the mountains, you'll be able to hear his voice. Well, awesome. Go there. It's not that his voice isn't in the city. It's just you're not tuned in that way. If you are lost, you will be found if you'll tune in. That's a great starting place. You know where the last time you heard God's voice was? Great, go back there. You know what holds this universe together? This is just in the natural, just thinking scientifically. I've talked about this a little bit in the past in here. I just want to mention it again. You know, our solar system is held together by the weight of the sun. By the glory of the sun, its weight is what holds everything in perfect alignment. If the earth tilted out of place by just a few degrees, we would be frozen or we'd be boiled. It is held in perfect order by the gravity of the sun, by the weight, the glory of the sun. Every planet is held in orbit. We know that the moon, as it travels around the earth, its weight affects our creation. Every time the moon travels over an ocean, the tide comes in and goes out. The weight of the moon is actually affecting the creation itself. You are under the effects of glories throughout the universe. You are being affected. Your physical being is being affected by glory. Your emotional being is being affected by glory. Your spiritual being is being affected by glory. The weight that's on every individual's life, when you come into orbit around that person, that are affecting you. When you come into the order or connection with the body of Christ and the weight of glory that rests on that community of people and the weight of God that's on that community is bringing order and alignment to your life. The voice of God is the most weighty form of connection that we have. Every time He speaks to you, a new weight comes upon you. If you are out of alignment, if you find yourself lacking purpose, if you find yourself having been in the far off land and wondering how to come back or what to do, you need not waste time seeking the counsel of men. Don't set up an appointment with me and ask what you should do. Could I possibly have the word of the Lord for you? Sure, it's possible. Happens often that we prophesy over one another, we speak to one another's lives. That's great. Can God use other people to speak to you? Absolutely. However, what it is that will bring alignment to your life is the word of the Lord. All you need to hear is one word from God. One word. That's it. It may not even seem like what He says has anything to do with your circumstance. Have you ever had that one happen to you? You're like seeking God about something and He's like, yeah, but what about this? And it's totally unrelated. But as soon as the word comes and renewal comes to your being, and now you know what to do. Happens all the time. You think you're going west and God's going east. Jesus said it like this. When He was resurrected and He's speaking to His disciples, the disciples were asking questions and Jesus explaining stuff. And Jesus said to them, He said, I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them right now. But when the Holy Spirit comes, He'll reveal them to you. The word bear is to be able to bear under, to carry what it is that He was about to speak. Jesus was saying, hey, I got a lot of stuff to reveal to you, but it's so weighty that you can't actually physically carry it right now. So I've got to break it down over lots of pieces. It's like a Thanksgiving meal served in servings, right? You know, first course, second course, third course. If it all came at once, there's no way you can do it. You got to eat it over courses. Jesus breaks down what He's trying to give to you because if He gave it to you all at once, you would be crushed by it. Some of our callings are so weighty that you can't just give it to you right away. He's got to give it to you step by step. But the point is you got to remain connected to the voice. Are you with me here tonight? Look at that verse again. The doorkeeper opens. The sheep hear His voice. He calls His own sheep by name and He leads them out. When He puts forth all His own, He goes ahead of them and the sheep follow Him because they know His voice. A stranger they simply will not follow. Look, your family, your tribe, your home is found in His voice. Where do you belong? It's found when you first hear His voice, when He's calling to you. You know because you hear His voice. You know your home as soon as you hear His voice. You know you're among people when you hear His voice in them. I've traveled a lot in my life. I was in the military for 6 years, and I had several different duty stations around the world. I always knew if I was attending a church that I was supposed to be at, the like literally, you know, first 2 minutes of a pastor opening his mouth. I would know because I would hear the Father's voice or I wouldn't. And it had nothing to do with what they were saying. And it had nothing to do with whether their sermon was eloquent or they made a good point. It had nothing to do with that. It was all the word of the Holy Spirit. Always. As soon as there was life, boom, done, I'm home. Why would I leave that place? There's no reason for me to keep looking. Some of you are home and you don't know it yet. Because spirit to spirit, the Lord is communicating to you. But what about X, Y, Z? No, no, no. Let me help you understand. You belong where His voice is. Your purpose and all that God's calling you to is going to be found where His voice is, not someplace else. Identity. Who am I? It's found in how God relates to you. He calls you by name. It's in His voice. Who am I? That question is answered only in hearing His voice. It's answered in hearing His voice. It's answered in hearing His voice in a community of people that are hearing His voice. Your identity is solidified as you hear the Master call you by name. And whatever He calls you is your calling. Whatever He calls you is your calling. But what am I supposed to do? I don't know. What does He call you? What's your name in God? How does God relate to you? How is He communing with you? The answer is found in His voice. You don't need to go any further. You know, I used to, once a year, we go up to Canada. Some of you heard this illustration before, but it bears repeating. My wife and I, when we were dating early on, I remember the first time that I went up to Canada with her family on a fishing trip. And we went up north, and I remember it was like a 12-hour drive, and it was just ridiculous to get up there. And then when you open the door, you know, when we closed the car door, it was warm. And when we opened the car door, it was cold. And I thought, why are we here? This is craziness. Aren't there lakes in southern Minnesota? You know, what would drive a person to travel into the far off Northland to go to some lake that is totally remote, right, for fish of the same breed that are in your home lake? If someone has the answer, I would love to hear it later. I still don't have this one answered. But I remember the first time that I went fishing up there, and I had never been walleye fishing before. And Jim, Nicole's father, taught me how to walleye fish. And he set me up with a rig and that had a weight on the line several feet from the hook. And I remember thinking, this is weird. You know, I'm used to only fishing with a bobber and a hook. This is the fishing that I grew up with. You know, my mom would take me panfish fishing, right? So I'm wondering where the bobber goes and why there's a weight on the end of the line. And the bobber was nowhere to be found. And so I'm asking the question, well, okay, so there's a weight on this, and then there's a hook at the end, and I'm going to attach a leech to the end of the hook, and I'm going to drop the weight all the way to the bottom of the lake, to the bottom. I'm going to feel it hit because there's going to be slack in the line, and I'm going to pull it up just a little bit so the weight is pretty much dragging along the bottom so that the leech is floating just barely off the bottom of the lake. And then we're going to troll, we're going to move the boat, and my weight is going to drag over all the different obstacles that are on the bottom of this lake. All the rocks, all the weeds, all the everything, so that the leech looks like it's just traveling along the bottom of the lake, right past the old lazy walleye's mouth, so that he bites a hold of it, right? Are you with me here? This is walleye fishing. This is what's explained to me. And so I'm asking the question, well, how the heck do I know when a fish is on? There's no bobber. I'm looking for the, you know, bobber goes down when there's a fish. But instead, what I have is a pole that is constantly going beep, 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 with the weight dragging along the bottom of the lake. And it's hitting all these obstacles. And every time there's a new obstacle, I think I have a fish. Why? Because the pole bends over. Because that's what my mom taught me, is that when the pole bends over and the bobber goes down, it means you have a fish. Anyone with me here? What I find out very quickly by yanking on the line and watching my leech fly over the boat is that that is not the truth with walleye fishing. In fact, just because the pole goes like this doesn't mean there's a fish on the line. This is how I learned to hear God's voice. The end. I watched Nicole's uncle pull up walleye after walleye, and he never yanked on the line unless it was a fish. I sat there in awe and wonder, wondering, how in the heck, right? Because then the times where I'm like, well, it's a rock. Oh, I'm snagged again. Sorry, guys. We need to turn around and go back, right? Oh, the groans go up from the boat, you know, and we go back to catch my snag, and all of a sudden, zzz, it's flying away because there's a fish on it. I thought I was snagged. I thought I got it wrong. Next thing you know, there's a fish. Right, it would take several times of fishing like this for me to learn the difference of the tension in the line of it just being the rocks in the bottom and when I actually had a real one. This is what it's like to learn the voice of the Lord. You learn by pulling on the line. You learn by slowing yourself down to listen. And then when you think you hear, you act on it to see if it was the word of the Lord or not. Sometimes I get it wrong. Sometimes you get it right. The only way you're going to learn is if you act upon it. You have to try. You're not going to learn by locking yourself away. You got to learn by trying. There'll be weight on it. Purpose in life is found in His voice. Direction in life is found in His voice. He goes in front of them and He begins to call. All your provision, all your everything is found in His voice. I have had this discussion way too many times with folks that have started the journey, hearing His voice, walking in obedience, walking out on the water, you know, going for it. And then the fear of the world, the wind and waves, the anxieties of life, I thought things were going to be different. You know, and I'm disillusioned because the outcome wasn't what I dreamed it was going to be. I followed this voice to try to do something and none of it worked out. Now what do I do? And the questions that I get and the conversations I have are all around, I've lost touch with the shepherd who went out before me and is calling to me, and I don't know how to get back to that centeredness. Or they've abandoned the voice to try to go back to the sheep pen. To try to find their way back to comfort and closed quarters. But unfortunately, the trough isn't being filled there because the shepherd's not there anymore. There's only sustenance found out on the range where He's leading you to. I know I'm speaking parabolically tonight, but I hope I'm talking directly to you. All you really need to hear is His voice. That's it. When the Lord speaks to you, the glory, the weightiness of His word comes on you, and that weightiness will bring alignment to your circumstances. Seriously, this is all you need. You just need to hear from Him. That's it. You just need to hear from Him. Matthew 13, verses 20 through 21. There's one aspect about this that I just want to highlight real quick, and then we'll close. Sometimes when we hear God's voice and we act on it, we step out. Adversity comes. Trial. And it seems like it's in direct opposition to what you're attempting to do. You're like determined. You hear from God. You need to love this person, right? And then so you go into work and you're about to love this person. And next thing you know, they're slandering you to your friend in front of you. Adversity comes and it's opposing the very word that you heard from God. Now you find yourself in this quagmire. How am I supposed to treat this person with honor and respect when they're very, you know, you with me here? Or you hear from the Lord something concerning provision, right? And what's going to come in and what you're going to do with it or whatever. Whatever this is, right? Something about provision. A release of provision to you or, you know, whatever. And then you go to put your hand to the plow because God told you to do it. And all of a sudden you find bills in the mail. Unexpected, out of the blue. Oh, look at that. You're being audited by the IRS. Oh, look at that. Your tire blows out on your car. The engine seizes. Oh, look at that. The washer dies. What in the world is going on, God? I am following your voice. You said you'd provide, and next thing you know, I find myself in adversity. Anyone ever been there before? You attempted to obey the voice, the still small voice that's inside of you that no one else can confirm except for you. You can't get confidence from other people. Although you would beg and plead that God would tell you audibly and have an angel come to you and speak to you. We would love for this to happen, but that's just not the way that he deals with us. Why? Because he gave the Holy Spirit to you who lives inside of you. The voice of God's in you. And so we step out and then adversity hits and we go, whoa, what is this about? Matthew 13, 20 and 21. The one on whom the seed was sown on the rocky places, this is talking about the conditions, the soil of people's hearts. The word or the seed is the word of God. God speaks, he sows the seed, and when it hits this type of soil, rocky soil, this is what happens. This is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yeah, God spoke to me, this is going to be awesome! Yet, because he has no firm root inside of him. Now, if you read this and you're like, you feel condemned by that, you're reading with the wrong perspective. You have no firm root inside of you. All that means is that the work hasn't been done to dig out the root system for this new seed. You just have never been challenged in this way. This is something new. The Lord's planting a seed, and it's going to cause something new to happen in your life. And this is ground that's never been tilled before. This isn't a condemning thing. This is how you identify where you're at on your journey. There's no root in himself, but it's only temporary. So it sprouts up, boom, right? But when affliction or persecution arises, the word immediately falls away. And so the plant that bloomed immediately with joy all of a sudden finds itself drying up and dying. Look at that phrase. When, everyone say when. Okay, this is not a condition of if. You know, if, that's like, maybe this will happen, maybe it won't. No, this is not that statement. This is when. When means this is certain. This is going to happen. In fact, it's a confirmation that you heard from God. Yeah, no one wants to hear that, by the way. When affliction, everyone say affliction, doesn't that sound fun? When affliction or persecution arises because of the word. In other words, that affliction and that persecution wouldn't have come had God not spoken to you. Now do you want to pursue God's voice? That word affliction, it means a pressing pressure. A pressing pressure. The word persecution means it pursues you. And those two words go together. They're not separate. They're separate words, separate Hebrew words, Greek words, but they go together, hand in glove. A pressing pressure that will no longer leave you alone. In other words, you can't undo this and get away from it. So even if you stepped out to do God's will and now this pressing pressure comes on you, you can't undo it and try to get away and no longer do God's will and then it'll leave you alone. C- Come on, unless you've ever been there before, you don't know what I'm talking about. Where you're like, I stepped out, I did this, and now, dang. I'm just going to go ahead and retreat and back into the sheep pen and forget about it. Come on, devil, leave me alone. I'm no longer pursuing this. You can just go ahead and have whatever it was that stirred up the hornet's nest. I'm no longer going to give into it. It's too late. You can't undo it. Persecution, this pressing pressure has come upon you because of the word. The weight of the word, the weight of glory that has now bringing alignment to your life has caused you to come into a new sphere of influence that has fallow ground. It is not broken up yet. And persecution or a pressing weight is coming upon you to do what? To break up the ground. To knock loose those strongholds, the rocky places, the wrong patterns of thought. To knock loose those things so you can get them out of the soil. This is a part of the process. You're not being condemned by, oh, look, I got excited about this word and it didn't happen. I must be a failure. No, no, no. This is a condition of the heart that Jesus is inviting you into to get rid of the rocky places in your life so you can start bearing fruit. And the callings of God are without repentance. He's not taking it back. You're stuck. Come on. The weightiness of the word is plowing the soil. But just because you struggle with it and just because affliction comes, a pressing pressure, and it's hard, it doesn't mean that you should give up. You can't. You're stuck. You're going to be under this weighty word now forevermore. Your glory realm has changed. You have a new glory on you. You can't get out of it now. It's bringing you into alignment with new things. It's just the way it works. James 1, verses 2 and 4, consider it all joy. My brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, what is the trial there for? What is the pressing pressure? To test your faith. And the pressing pressure will not go away. You know what that means? It means you're going to take this test over and over and over and over until you pass it. And the goal is that you would lack nothing, that you would be perfect and complete, and you wouldn't lack anything. Now, think about this. So you're going through life, and you hear from God. You're pursuing His voice because He is your shepherd. You're doing what you think that God has told you to do. Persecution or oppressing pressure comes. Affliction, right? Trials come in contradiction to what you feel like God is telling you to do. What that is doing is testing your faith. The testing of your faith is happening in order to provide you with the necessary equipment so you won't lack anything for the thing that God is calling you into. The reason the test is coming is to make sure you have the proper equipment for fulfilling the calling. How do you know when you are equipped to do the work that God has called you to do? When you enter into a trial and you pass it on the first time. When you can consider it all joy and you just walk right through it. It's not that it's not hard, but you're able to just walk right through it. And your faith is tested and it is proved. Look at that. I'm not lacking anything. I don't have any strongholds, wrong patterns of thought in my mindset that would prevent me from fulfilling God's will. You see how this works? Every time Jesus speaks to you, a new realm of this happens. And it's all just to equip you to fulfill what He's calling you to. So it's a part of the journey. It's part of the journey. It's good. It's good. I was studying the life of Abraham recently, and totally blows me away how many times this guy failed. I noticed this pattern from Genesis 12 all the way to Genesis chapter 21. His entire story is God releasing a blessing, a calling, and a realm of promise to him. And then immediately following, look at the scriptures, Genesis 12 to 21. Every single time that God releases a promise to him, it is tested the moment after, every time. He goes through promise, test, promise, test, promise, test. Let me just highlight these to you real quick, because I think you should be encouraged by this. Considering he is the father of our faith. He receives the calling in Genesis 12 that God's going to bless him and he's going to possess the land. Immediately following, there is a test. Now there is a famine in the land, and now he no longer has provision. He's promised provision and promised the land, but the land that he was promised goes into famine, and now there's no longer any provision, and the land is suffering. It's not going to happen. Does Abraham, or Abram at the time, pass the test? No. Know what he does? He leaves the land of promise to go down to Egypt. In the midst of him going down to Egypt, he tells the people that his wife is his sister, which is a true statement, but it's not the whole truth, right? So in the midst of his trial going down to Egypt, he lies and he sows this, you know, deceit. And now what's threatened? His wife becoming someone else's wife. And now, is there any promise of the future? No, because there's not going to be any children if his wife is now Pharaoh's wife. Everything is at jeopardy here because this guy failed the test. But what's God do? He intervenes. He's so merciful, right? Merciful. Gets him out of it. Unbelievable. And oh, by the way, God blesses him. Pharaoh, Egypt, sends him away with a ton of blessing, which is proof that God will turn anything meant for evil into good. Absolutely. Of those who are called according to his purposes. Again, if you're called, if you have this calling, you're following his voice, he's going to turn everything for good. Doesn't mean that he caused these things to happen. Some of them were just your dumb choices. But he's going to bless you anyway. I have a couple of them in my life. Anybody else have a couple of them in your life? Come on, round two with God testing or Abram being tested by the word. So he repents unto the calling and he goes back to the place that he built an altar and begins to call on the name of the Lord again, right? And as soon as he goes and he calls upon the name of the Lord and he initiates the calling that God had given him and engages the land again, next thing you know, there's a test. The test this time is that he's so blessed that he's got diversity or strife in his family, and Lot, his nephew, is got so blessed, and Abram's so blessed that there's not enough land to provide for everybody. So strife ends up, and Lot now is choosing the better land, and Abram's left with the leftover piece of land. And the test is around provision and who's going to possess the land. It's the same test that he failed earlier, only it's coming in a different version. Now it's coming through strife in the family. Anybody ever been there before? Right, so what started off as this pressure from outside is now pressure inside this family. And it's all around the same test, though, of is the land going to be yours? Are you going to believe the promises of God? And what are you going to do? How many know that? Abram gets it this time. So what's he do? He gives the right to Lot to choose, and he trusts God to give everything else. He's not worried about it. The result is that they go their separate ways, and God's promise is that God's going to give Abram everything. He passes the test, and as a result, God promises the whole breadth of the land, not just a part. He trusts the Lord to do what he couldn't just do. Sometimes we need to give way to other people in order to continue to be sensitive to the voice of the Lord, even though you have a right to demand your rights. Sometimes it's not actually better to sue somebody to get your right or your way. Sometimes it's better just to give way and trust the Lord that he's the one that's going to fulfill the promise instead of forcing your way. Several armies come into the land and ravage the land, destroy a whole bunch of cities, and now they're threatening to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, which is where Abram's nephew lives. They come in, they wage war, They flatten everything. They destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. They destroy all the cities in the land, and they take all the people as a possession off to slavery. And Abram is sitting there watching this happen. He hears from a report that his nephew Lot has been taken and all the possessions and everything has been taken. So Abram gets his men together and goes chases after them, right? He's now fighting for the possession of the land, right? He's engaged this. He's caring and he's taking responsibility. He goes and he wins the armies. He wins the victory and he gains back all of the possessions and all of the power and all of the influence now over all of the cities in the land. Because Abram just defeated the enemy that just defeated everybody. I don't know if you ever saw this before, but all of these cities that were defeated by those enemies now belong to Abram. All the kings that were defeated and killed, all those people now belong to Abram. All the possessions now belong to Abram. He's the richest man. He's the most powerful man. He is the big kahuna. Are you with me here? Right, that's Abram's position when he goes out into the valley and this priest of Salem comes down out of the hills. His name is Melchizedek. He is Christ incarnate before Christ comes. It's Jesus. Comes down to meet with Abram. And Abram tithes. He gives the first 10% of everything that he has gained to the Lord. That right there, friends, is how you declare the lordship of Jesus over your stuff. Tithing is not about supporting the local church. Tithing is about declaring the lordship of Jesus over your stuff. It is about who's your God. It's about honoring the Lord first with whatever comes into your life. That's what that's about. And so Abram does this, and then, this is so awesome, because Abram's choice to honor the Lord and say, no, no, all this is because of you. The king of Sodom says to him, look, Abram, I see that you're so, you know, you're wealthy now. We all have to bow to you. Do us a favor. Just give us the people and you can keep all the wealth. In other words, we want the power. You can keep all the money. It's a test. Abram was just given possession of the land. But the possession was given by force, not from the Lord. Possession was taken by force, not God giving it to them. It was won with the edge of the sword, not by the blessing of the Lord. And the promise that God had given was that the blessing of the Lord would be what causes all these things to happen, not the sword of man's hand. The test of Abram's heart is, will you be swayed? Can you be bought with power and can you be bought with money? Is your heart mine? And what's he do? He tithes. He says, no, the Lord is my God. I will not be bought by the wages of this world. I will not be bought by possessions. I will not be bought by power. I am going to tithe unto the Lord. And oh, by the way, king of Sodom, thanks for the temptation, devil. But you can go ahead and get behind me because you can keep all the money and the people. Because there's no way on earth I'm going to allow Lucifer to declare over the people of God and their future that you made us wealthy and you gave us power. I hope you see this, that this is not just some little interaction. This is the devil trying to corrupt the will of the Lord over all the people of God. Abram gives it all back to him and says, there's no way you can, he passes the test. Next thing you know, God himself is coming to visit Abram and promise him a son. Promises him a son. Hey, you're going to have a child. Right? It's going to happen. Abram looks at his circumstances. This isn't going to happen. Sarah, his wife, solves the problem. You can just have my servant Hagar. Next thing you know, Ishmael is born. Abram tries to force God's promise to come about, not through covenant, but outside of covenant. I can't overemphasize this. The Lord's blessing comes through covenant. All of God's blessings come through covenant. When we try to go outside of covenant to achieve something, we'll always end up with an Ishmael versus an Isaac, something that was born and then will have great power. By the way, Ishmael is the father of Islam. It will have great power and great influence, but the fruit of it will become evil versus the fruit of what would happen through Sarah, Isaac. Are you with me here tonight? I hope you're seeing this. There is a ton more tests. I'm not going to go through them all. I want to close up right now. The voice of the Lord releases weight, provides all of the answers for everything that you're facing. All you really do need to do is connect with Him and hear from Him. That's it. It's the simplest of answers. You just need to quiet yourself and listen. Learn His voice. Hear from Him. As soon as He speaks, it will change your circumstances. If you have found yourself in trial and you're disillusioned by your circumstances because you tried following God and you ended up in a different place and you're wondering what in the world happened, understand that God is tilling your soil. Understand that the persecution or the pressures that you've come under because of the word, the result of it is going to be that you're going to lack nothing. However, you've got to walk through the trial. And His grace is sufficient for your needs. You just need to approach Him, receive from Him, and walk through the trial. To jump to your feet tonight, I want to pray for two groups of people. The first group of people that I want to pray for are those who are learning to hear God's voice. And you maybe aren't necessarily confident in it, but you're on the journey. You're wanting to hear His voice. You know that Jesus is your shepherd. You know that the Scripture is true, that you have the ability to hear His voice. You're just starting the journey. And it doesn't matter how long you've known the Lord, by the way. It's possible to be, 40 years old in the Lord. If you've never gone through this journey of learning English, learning His language, how He speaks, it'll feel just as new as a newborn. Those of you who are in the room tonight and you're starting that journey, would you just bow your heads and close your eyes? God, I thank You for the people in here. God, I thank You that the word of the Lord is present and that You are speaking into every circumstance, God. And that the answer to every circumstance that you're facing, if you came in and you have disease in your body, can I just tell you that the word of the Lord is what heals? It's hearing from Him. He will minister to you. He will speak to you. He will heal you. If you came in here today and you're disillusioned or you've been in the far-off land and you're in brokenness and you're just coming back to God, it's the word of the Lord. It's Jesus' voice that will restore you. If you're not sure what to do or the questions that plague society are also plaguing you, you're in good company. All you need to hear, though, is His voice again. That's it. You just need to hear His voice. So if that's you tonight, would you just lift your hands with me? Holy Spirit, I just thank You for those with their hands lifted high tonight. I just declare right now the word of the Lord over their lives. Holy Spirit, You're speaking to them. Father, I pray right now grace to hear. Grace to hear. I just declare right now an impartation to hear the word of the Lord in season and out of season. God, I thank You right now. We just declare that a release right now to hear the voice of the Lord, that You would know and understand the Spirit of God's voice. You would see and know what He is saying. The second group of people that I want to pray for tonight are those who have heard God's voice and you either attempted it and got disillusioned, or you attempted it and because of the pressure, you faded away from what He called you to. Or you heard what He told you to do and you've been running ever since. It was the word that brought the pressure. You can't get away from the new glory. It's on you. You might as well go through the test. I am here to tell you that the gifts and callings are without repentance. That call is still on your life, sir. That call is still on your life, ma'am. The things that he spoke to you is still on you. You cannot get away from it. It is yours. He will not take it away from you. And like Abram, if you will simply repent and come back to that place, it'll all be restored again. Abram went off into the far off land. He went off into Egypt. And when he came back to the same altar that he had heard from God the first time. You just got to come home. If that's you tonight, I want to pray for you. Just respond to the Lord right now. If that's you, just tell him, Lord Jesus, I've been far off. I ignored your word or I ran away from it. Whatever the circumstances, God, I'm coming back. I'm coming back to the calling you've given me. I feel so strongly the Lord is restoring callings. It's like the story of the prodigal son. What was lost and what was promised are all going to be coming back to you full term right now. You're going to see things happen so quickly that you thought would take years and years and years. Next thing you know, the Lord's visiting you. He's reminding you of his promise. And 9 months from now, boom, there's the child. Father in heaven, I just thank you for these that have come forward tonight. I thank you, Lord God, for the call that is without repentance. You have not taken it back and you're restoring. I declare restoration. We declare restoration. That which the enemy has stolen, there's even going to be bonus now. Sevenfold restoration. The call that felt so great before is being increased even right now because of the hour of history. We declare right now restoration and payment in full for what was stolen. Come on, church, agree with me here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to release you guys. If you want to receive prayer, you want us to a team to prophesy over you tonight, just stay up here. We'll pray and prophesy over you. But everybody else of you, we just want to release you. We bless you tonight. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May his face shine upon you. May he be gracious to you and grant you the peace that would guard your heart and your mind, that your life would be filled with this blessing. You would know the kingdom every day of your life. And everyone that dared to agree with those prayers said, amen, amen. Can we give the Lord a good clap offering again?